Welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your host, Bailey Turner.
And Zach. So today, Monday, May 8th, we are officially starting our summer shred challenge with our challenge group. And Bailey and I kind of want to just get into like the nitty gritty of what her and I will specifically be doing for the next 12 to 16-ish weeks. So far beyond the our eight group, the 8 week group. Yep. So, yeah, we're just going to kind of detail and lay out what we're going to personally be doing to keep ourselves on track and kind of buckle down for the first time in a while.
So I feel like we are starting to get into a routine of things, and I think we both have been making excuses for each other and ourselves on why we can't eat properly, because I feel like nutrition, training is one thing. We are really good at getting our workouts in and getting in movement. But we struggle at nutrition. We enable each other. We go out to eat a lot. We snack often. And I think we were both getting to the point where we were both fed up with how we were feeling. Because, you know, we put in 8 weeks of hard work in the gym with our last challenge. And yeah, we saw strength improvements, but our physiques didn't change much. And we were both like, okay, we need to buckle down. We need to get our nutrition kind of, you know, tuned in. And we need to really focus on how we can, one, feel better and look better.
Yeah, so like Bailey was saying, I personally feel that I am probably like the most muscular I've been. But I'm definitely not like the leanest I've ever been or should be. So like she was detailing too, the training part for us is very easy and the food part is very hard. And when you have this reciprocating relationship where, you know, you're just making excuses for each other and not really like, holding each other accountable.
Zach will want ice cream and I'll be like, okay, like I'll scoop up some ice cream.
And that's not to say that we can't enjoy things like that. It's just, let's track them now and actually like weigh out a serving or, you know.
Well, and I'm still breastfeeding too, but I kept making excuses for myself in that aspect where I'd be like, well, I'm breastfeeding so I can eat whatever I want. And I would probably eat 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day. And then I'd get, you know, upset when I looked in the mirror and I was like, why isn't my physique changing? I feel bloated constantly. I feel like puffy. I feel like I'm holding a ton of water. I'm getting stronger in the gym, which is great, but I'm not seeing any physique changes that makes me want to, you know, keep going. So I'm like, I really need to hold myself accountable and make changes because I'm sick and tired of feeling like this. And at some point, when you are starting your fitness journey and you want to make a change, you will have that, you know, one day or week or whatever that you're like, I need to make a change. I need to feel better. I need to look better. I want to feel like, you know, energized, and I want to feel better in my clothes, and I want my workouts to feel a little bit easier, because when you're first starting out, everything is hard. Nutrition's hard. Working out is hard. Everything. So there has to be that click to make you want to start, because we can give you all the tools to be successful. And like we do in our challenges, we give everybody, you know, the guide, the program, we're there for support. But if you don't want to make a change, no one can do that for you. And eventually we both got to the point, like I would say over a week ago, where we were like, okay, we've been doing everything right except for our nutrition. And that's a huge factor of progress. We need to both buckle down. And it's easier when we both do it, because if I was just doing it, you know, then you would eventually, vice versa. If you were just doing it, then I'd be like, well, what the heck? You're seeing such good progress. I'm eating like jerk still.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I wanted to get on board a lot sooner than you did.
Yeah.
Like even prior to you being pregnant, but then stuff happens. But I think something that resonates with me is, you know, you're not serious about it until you are. Like you can talk about how you want to lose this weight, how you want to get in shape, how you want to build muscle. But results are the only thing that matter, and your results kind of prove your level of seriousness. So
for sure. And we've literally only been tracking for like 3 days now, which, I mean, I'm not trying to act like I feel like we've always known what to do. I mean, I've done macros many times. I've been a coach before that has done macros for other people as well. So it's not like I don't know what to do. I know what to do. It's just, I kept making excuses for myself as to why I couldn't do them. For example, breastfeeding. I was like, don't want my milk supply to drop. I'm going to continue to eat like a jerk and eat 3,000 to 4,000 calories so my milk supply doesn't drop. But then I'm also going to complain simultaneously about how I'm not seeing progress. And that was just a cycle. My own excuses were just, you know, piling on. And honestly, I've been tracking for 3 days and I've prioritized water much more than I had been. I'm drinking over 120 ounces. Prioritize protein, and I'm still eating enough where I haven't seen a dip in supply, so I can't even make that excuse for myself.
Well, yeah, because wasn't it, I remember like reading somewhere, and it was from like a credible source too, it might have been like Mayo Clinic or something like that, but the amount of like calories that you need to be in like to be in like a surplus while you're like pregnant,
mm-hmm.
like when you haven't even like more nutritional like requirements, is only like 300 calories.
Yeah, it's like 300 like calories, and I feel like a lot of people, including myself, go way beyond that.
Yeah, like to kind of just use it as a crutch. But
yeah,
you know, I'm not a woman, so I can't speak on that, I guess.
Yeah, and it is challenging. I struggled a lot with it mentally, and I just needed to, I don't know, eventually get to the point where I was sick and tired of, you know, constantly on the daily dealing with my own excuses, that finally I was like, listen, I'm going to hire a coach myself. And then Zach, I do Zach's macros, and, you know, maybe eventually he'll want to hire a coach to kind of handle everything for him. But for now, it's what's working for us. And I hired Alex Bush with Physique Development, and I have literally nothing bad to say about him. He is amazing. His process for which he onboards clients and the data that he collects within the check-ins and all the information that you give to him beforehand, before he even gives you like your nutrition and macros and all the supplement and whatever he, you know, gives you to start the whole process, is just so detailed, so thorough. He really takes his time with everything, and you can just tell that he truly cares about you, not just, you know, he doesn't want to just let you follow a simple plan and then, you know, hope, good luck, see you in, you know, a couple weeks. He truly cares about you mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. And so, you know, I told him that I had been struggling with some stuff mentally, and he made sure to address that. And he's like, this is how I think we can improve this. And I really appreciate that. So if you're looking for a coach and you need some extra support, I highly recommend them. They are so great. They are an investment. I will not sit here and say, you know, it's going to be affordable to everyone, because it might not be. But it is an investment, because I'm paying for it. I think that also has another factor for me wanting to stick to it, because guess what? I'm paying, you know, X amount of dollars a month, and I don't want to let myself down, but I also don't want to let him down, because now he's my coach. He's the one that's going to be, you know, making sure I get my check-ins to him, and I have to prove that I've been, you know, tracking and doing all the things and weighing in and doing everything that he's giving me to succeed. I need to make sure that I'm doing that for, like I said, not only myself, but for him, because I hate upsetting, or I don't know, like letting people down. I hate letting people down. So I think that adds a really good factor for myself to hire a coach for some extra accountability, and just to kind of, you know, let someone else deal with that, so I don't have to think about it.
Yeah. So you kind of already touched on like hydrating better, prioritizing like protein. Do you want to kind of get into just some other, like, I won't call them like tips or tricks, but some other things that we're trying to nail to kind of make this whole process easier?
Basically, Zach and I are both going to be training 4 times a week. We're following our summer shred program. And additionally, on top of training, so I would say we're both training for probably an hour a day, 4 times a week. And then we are additionally going on one walk.
I just want to touch on that real quick.
Oh, yeah.
The training aspect. Go for it. So we call it shred. But don't think or, like listen to anyone that tells you like, this is a shredding program, because the best program that like helps you build muscle and size and strength is going to be the best program for keeping and maintaining that size when you are in a deficit. Because I've noticed in the past that when I'm like doing like intentional, like cutting phases, the training is what helps me retain the most muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I can like cut calories down quite a bit, and I'm not like condoning that or encouraging anyone to do that. But even when I cut calories way down, if my training is still like as intense as it was, or close to as intense as it was while I was like bulking or like in a surplus, I notice very little like muscle loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On top of training, we will each be aiming for about, sorry, Marlo's just making some noise. She's playing with my sister in another room. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but We will both be trying to get about 10,000 steps a day. And so we've been trying to do this by each going on a daily walk alone. So I'll go for my walk and it'll be about 2.5 to 3 miles. And then Zach will go for his. And then later in the evening, we'll go for a family walk together with Marlo, the dogs, or even in the middle of the day, just so we get even more steps in. So staying active throughout the day has helped me a lot in terms of, you know, just my digestion, my mood, my energy, also getting my steps in. When you're working on a computer all day and you're sitting down, it's nice to break up the day by doing that. And it's also really nice for each of us to get time alone and just go on a walk by ourselves, either listen to a podcast or just honestly walk in peace, because we don't get a ton of, like, you know, alone time.
Yeah. And then, like, from a, like, an exercise standpoint, one walk isn't going to, like, make or break, like, your ability to lose weight. But if you think about it over, like, the course of, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, for however long you're, like, dieting, it's going to compound. And those, like, longer walks and any, like, non-exercise activity is going to just, you know, aid you in your weight loss.
Make that big, yeah, it's going to make a huge difference. And let's say you were only getting 4,000 steps a day. In a week, that's, you know, 28,000 steps. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're upping that to 10,000, that's 70,000 steps. That's literally almost 2.5 times the amount. That's insane. So even just, not even if you struggle with hitting 10,000, even 6,000 to 7,000 would be a good goal. Moving, you know, a 5-minute walk throughout your day, or taking the stairs, or doing anything like that makes a huge difference. So we've been doing that to increase movement throughout the day. I've been trying to drink 120 ounces of water, because before I was kind of hit or miss. Like, some days I would drink a ton, like 150 ounces. Other days I'd drink like 40, 50 ounces because I'd be very, you know, just up and down with it. Zach, I think, is drinking about what, 150?
I'm not really tracking. So I'm not as gung-ho, and we can, like, not disagree on things, but I don't like to, like, pound water, because then it becomes one of those things where I'm, like second-guessing myself or becoming, like, anxious about it. Like, oh, it's, like, 6 o'clock and I still got, like, 60 ounces to go, because then, one, I'm up 10 times at night, like I was last night, peeing every, like, 30 minutes.
But you don't struggle with water like the majority of people
do.
No,
and while I'm training, I sweat like nobody else. Like, yeah. So I'm drinking, like, 3 blender bottles. Sorry, you can still hear Marlo screaming in the background, but I also noticed that I get, like, more headaches too when I drink a ton of water. Like, what I feel like would be, like,
yeah, you just need to replenish, because I'm, like,
depleting my electrolytes at that point, especially if there's not, like, electrolytes mixed in with the water I'm drinking. So
yeah, but just something to be cautious of. I will say that drinking more water for myself has helped with my hunger, because before, I feel like when I wasn't hitting my water intake for the day, I would get super hungry, like, ravenous almost, and just want to eat, like, the whole pantry. But because I'm, like, actually paying attention and being more mindful of how much water I'm drinking, I'm not as hungry, and I'm not, like, trying to go into the pantry every waking second to go get a snack. So definitely make sure you're prioritizing water, because that will help with your hunger.
Yeah. Something that I find that, like, really helps curb my hunger too is, like, diet, like, carbonated beverages, so, like, diet soda. It, like, fills me up more. Mm-hmm. And this isn't me giving you, like, the sparkling green light water to slam a 12-pack of Diet Coke or anything like that.
Yeah, one, everything in moderation.
And two, it's probably going to make you feel terrible because of, like, the carbonation, like, the bloat it would cause you. And it's probably just not a good idea to drink 12 cans of soda.
Yeah, at night, if you're wanting something sweet and you don't really have a lot of macros left or calories left, or you just, you know, don't want to eat a snack, then you can have, like, a Diet 7-Up or whatever.
And, like, actually enjoy it. Don't just slam it. Like, sip on the thing.
For quenching your thirst.
Yeah. Like, if you're thirsty, probably drink water.
Okay. Another thing that we have been trying to prioritize is our sleep. So I feel like we, for the past, you know, obviously 5 months, it's kind of been hit or miss with our sleep. We are finally in a routine where Marlo pretty much sleeps through the night, so we don't have to worry about, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with her anymore. So we've been trying to actually go to sleep earlier, around 9:30, and wake up. I like waking up at 5:30. Zach likes sleeping in just a little bit to, like, maybe 6:30. But I've been trying to get about 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, and that helps me a ton too, because on the days that I don't get enough sleep, I find myself that I'm much hungrier. I'm, like, in bottomless pit. And that is because the hormones from getting a lack of sleep can cause you to kind of be in like this like fight or flight kind of mode, and your hunger hormones will be off. And so you'll be super hungry and nothing will really fill you up. So it is really important to make sure you're prioritizing sleep when you are trying to cut, because you really want to make sure that your hunger hormones aren't going to be the thing that's going to make you ravenous all day long.
Well, and from like a recovery standpoint too, like exactly. If you're in a deficit, you're, you know, depriving yourself, and I not depriving necessarily, but you're slashing how much food your body is getting for like fuel, essentially. So your sleep is, you know, of the utmost importance, because
that's where your body rebuilds, yeah, too. Especially.
Like that's where your recovery is going to take place. So
100%. So, and then another thing is what we're doing is tracking macros, which we touched on. Our macros are not low. I will say that. I think we're both starting in a really good place, because we want to go the next 14 to 16 weeks kind of slowly decreasing them as we get into our cut. And the goal of a cut is to kind of start as high as you can while still seeing progress without having to, you know, slash your calories right off the bat. So I don't want to go from eating 3,000 to 4,000 and then dropping down to 1,500 and then being at 1,500 calories for, you know, 16 weeks, because then I'm going to have really nowhere to go from that. So it's really important as you're starting a cut, if you are tracking your macros, you want to start it as high as you can while still seeing results. I'd rather walk more than eat less personally. So I'd rather do more movement and increase like my NEAT and calorie expenditure there than remove food. And so the goal is to eat as much as possible while still seeing results, so that you have that, you know, wiggle room to eventually decrease calories as you progress through your cut. So like I said, our calories and macros are not very low right now, but they are in a very slight deficit just as we're getting started, because we just need to work on, you know, the first couple of weeks just being consistent with this, since we haven't tracked in so long. Another thing we're doing is incorporating high volume foods. So before this, we were not being very mindful of this and kind of struggling with our veggie intake. We both love fruit, but we weren't really incorporating as much veggies as I would typically like. But since starting tracking, we have both realized it is way easier to eat more food if you're consuming more high volume foods. So for example, for breakfast this morning, we both had a giant like egg scramble, and we had eggs, egg whites, veggies, turkey bacon. I also had potatoes, and I had this giant bowl for like 600 calories, which was so much food. I couldn't even finish it all, which I didn't even realize how much food it was, but it was so much food. So I actually packed up the rest of it, and I'm going to eat it for like a snack mid-morning when I get a little hungry. But you can just eat so much. I feel like before this, I would eat like 3 cinnamon rolls, and that'd be the same amount of calories, but like 150 carbs compared to like the 50 grams of carbs that I had in my morning breakfast. And I like balancing it out with a good protein source, a good carb source, a good fat source, so that it's like a well-balanced meal and you feel full and satisfied after, versus, you know, having a ton of carbs right away in the morning that might not satisfy you. So definitely plan out your meals in a way that you have a good protein source, a good fat source, and a good carb source, because that will keep you fuller for longer, especially when you're incorporating fiber into. Do you want to touch on that?
No, I mean, you're taking this over, so just keep doing you. I can tell you're on a roll, and you're...
Well, how do you feel versus, you know, when you eat high volume meals like we have been versus eating, you know, like, I don't know, a cheeseburger?
Well, I mean, I've never had a cheeseburger for breakfast, but...
Not for breakfast. Oh. Okay, so let's say you had a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus what we had for breakfast this morning.
Well, obviously, you're going to feel more full. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put away all my food this morning, so...
Yeah, and Zach's bowl was, like, what, 800, like, less than 800 calories?
Yeah.
And Zach is a big eater. He can eat a lot of food. His macros, calories are over 3,000 calories, and this was a giant bowl. So when you have, like, a giant amount of food, because they're more high volume, you get to eat a lot more, and you'll feel a lot more full. And you won't feel, you know, in a couple hours, you won't be like, oh my gosh, I'm starving again. Yeah. Versus if I were to eat, you know, a big bowl of cereal, I'd be hungry 5 minutes later because I'm not getting the fiber, the protein, and just the volume of food that I would get with eating a giant, like, egg scramble with veggies and all sorts of goodies in it.
Yep.
Yep.
You're covering it, so...
Another thing that we have been doing is not eating out. Granted, it hasn't been super long, but we are really trying to focus on cooking all of our meals at home just so kind of we can control what is going in them and, you know, not have any guesses as to what we're eating. Mm-hmm. Because we're really trying to be consistent with, you know, tracking our macros, which you can eat out. I feel like eventually we might, you know, do Chick-fil-A or something like that, something that's easily trackable, but just make healthier options or healthier, better choices. And then another thing that we are doing, which doesn't really relate to cutting necessarily, but just kind of for me, especially not so much Zach, but for me, for stress management, I am trying to not have my phone past 8 p.m. because I realized that I would either work or scroll on social media until pretty much time for bed. And I would really get no time to one, spend like actual one-on-one time with Zach, and two, just like unwind from the day. Because I mean, I'm constantly on my phone working or on my computer working, and I don't get a lot of time to just unwind and relax after Marlo goes down for the night. So I feel like I really need to get better at, you know, putting my phone away, being more present with Zach, being more present with myself, and allowing myself to unwind so that I can get better sleep. And I really like that Alex included this into my like onboarding and my like protocols, because that's something I really need to work on. And I'm glad that he's holding me accountable to that, because it's just something that I've really struggled with, because it's so easy to, you know, answer emails until 10 o'clock at night just because you want to keep working and help people out. But I just need to learn to take a break and also just not scroll mindlessly, because it doesn't make me feel good.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point, because I noticed that, like, what was it, a couple days ago, you've been sending me TikToks of like garbage food, and then you would be like
craving a cheeseburger. Well, that didn't.
Are you hungry for this? Like, it's like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like.
That was when I had the that's when I started my cycle. No. That's when I started my cycle, and I was like, I'm so hungry for a cheeseburger right now.
Yeah.
But so, then I didn't. I didn't. No, nope, I just didn't. Kept watching TikToks about it.
You didn't cave, and then you keep doing these things where you are setting me up to see if I cave to wanting food like you did at Costco.
Yeah, we were at Costco getting groceries, like, you know, trying to restock our fridge and pantry full of, you know, healthy options. And I was like, Zach, I'm really hungry. Can we go get a slice of Costco pizza? Because everyone knows Costco pizza is the best.
It's not the best, but it's just something about
Costco pizza. It's so good.
And she claims this was a setup, but when I
said... It was a setup. It 100%, swear on Marlo's life, it was a complete setup.
But when I said no, you... You were... I don't... There was a part of me that thought that you were hoping I would say yes.
No, it was a total setup. I don't know why you're saying that.
A setup.
I literally set you up. And you passed your first test, so yeah. Good job. And you passed your second test. Well, you almost failed your second test because you almost wanted a cheeseburger, too.
Well, yeah, a cheeseburger always sounds good, but...
But we both passed. No, that's all that matters.
We both passed.
We've been doing so good, and we're going to continue because Zach said that he even worked out this morning with his shirt off, and he's like... Kept looking at himself in the mirror like, you're going to be ripped by your birthday. His birthday's at the end of August, and so that's like, what, 14 weeks away?
Something like that, yeah. A little under 4 months at this point. Yeah. So
you're going to be unrecognizable. That's what you said.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just want to feel like good without my shirt off.
Yeah.
That's like a non like subjective goal, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like right now in a swimsuit, I'm like, I'm not uncomfortable, but I'm just, I don't know. I don't feel like myself per se. And I'd just love to feel like comfy and myself and just fit and active and just feel better.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there. I've literally been tracking for 3 days and I already feel so much better. I don't feel as bloated. I feel like my face looks skinnier just because I'm not holding a bunch of water from eating like crap. Mm-hmm. It feels good. It feels good to finally just like feel like you have a plan and just know what you want to do to execute and follow through with it.
Yeah. Like I feel like the first day is definitely like the hardest, especially when you've like had a pretty lengthy like hiatus from doing it, but we're what, like we're on the third day.
She's found her voice, if you can't tell. You can hear her through the vents. We're in the kitchen and she's in her playroom with my sister.
But like I was saying, we're 3 days in and I already feel like I'm in a groove and like I'm comfortable with like tracking again and like not annoyed by it and like having this like you know, gloomy mentality about it, thinking, oh, this sucks. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. But like, I but feel it's better. Not. And
you when know. You're not going to need to do this no. for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
It's just, we needed some accountability. We needed to finally, you know, let go of our excuses and be like, okay, it's time to make a change. I'm tired of feeling like this and I want to feel better. So I'm going to hire a coach. I'm going to do what it takes to be strict with myself and get into a good routine and put myself first, because that's the thing that I struggled with the most. And Zach knows that, you know, I had been struggling mentally for a while just because I couldn't fathom like putting myself first. I always like put other people before myself, which has been, you know, my fatal flaw for a while now, especially now that we have a baby. And so now that I'm trying to prioritize me, I feel like I'm a much better mom, a much, much better wife, much better, I don't know, employee, owner, company, worker. I don't even know.
Employer.
I just feel like
business owner, employee. Are you picking up shifts somewhere that I don't know?
No, I just feel like I feel like a better person when I take care of myself first. A
better person.
Yes, truly. I do. Like, I don't feel as stressed out, because when I don't take care of myself first for the day, I'm like kind of running on fumes.
Yeah. And it's,
and it causes stress in our marriage. It causes stress in like every place of my life.
Yeah. That could be an entirely
different podcast.
But
I feel like, you know, we've been having our alone time on our walks and we both come back kind of just feeling good.
Well, and I feel like part of it too is like, especially when Marlo was young, and now this is turning into another Marlo episode, but when Marlo was young, I touched on it, like, I think in the last podcast episode, maybe two podcasts ago, because the last one was with Kelly and Chris, but I had never been around like young kids. So I just wasn't comfortable like being left alone with her. But now it's like, you could be gone all day and I'm fine, just because I know the routine. You know, I'm not like scared to pick her up, and I like know how to put her down for her naps and stuff like that. So like, you getting your alone time for like a couple hours is like no big deal anymore. So, but you still struggle with like giving into that, which is, I'm sure, natural.
I as leave, a mom. You know, for a couple hours here and there, but I went and got my hair done. What was it, like a month ago?
And you were gone for 6 hours.
I was gone for like 5.5, 6 hours, and I was struggling. Like,
I did better than you. Like,
Zach was fine, but I felt so guilty.
Like, hey, hope it went well. And you were just like texting me like the entire time.
I
was like,
is she okay? Like, I feel so bad. And my boobs were ready to explode. And it was, yeah, it was not good. But it is good to, I just, honestly, all I need in a day, I don't even need to like get out of the house and go anywhere. I just want to be able to work out in peace and go on a walk in peace. I took her with me and it was actually great today, but I love just having that time to myself where I can focus on me and just like
not have to worry about
her. Because the minute we like bring her into the gym, we both kind of like don't get a good workout in.
Well, especially right now, because when she was younger, we could get away with it because she could just sit there and be like content, because she would like sleep or just be like enamored with like any toy we put in front of her. But now she's like,
play with
so,
me.
So observant and like aware of things that she like constantly needs like that attention. So
yeah,
it's, you know, either we have to work out before she's up together, or one of us takes the first training session and then the other person goes later.
And then we switch.
Hey, you gotta adapt. Just don't miss.
I prefer to wake up early and train. Zach doesn't like to do that.
I like to wake up. Like, I like to wake up.
He and likes then,
like,
to take his like, mornings a little slower.
Yeah, just because I don't like feeling like rushed into getting out.
Yeah, and that's fine. I want to just be able to work out, do my thing, get done, and literally be ready to start my day by like 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I can be productive and get a bunch of stuff done.
Do you have any other things you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, so I just wanted to conclude this episode with just kind of giving a few tips on if anybody else wants to try to, you know, cut or be in a deficit. And maybe this will help you if you are struggling to finally, you know, make that step to committing to, you know, be in a deficit and start cutting if you do want to lose weight. And so I would just try to prioritize these things. So one, move more. Doesn't matter if that means, you know, you're running, you're walking, you're doing yoga, you're weight training. Any movement is good movement. So do what you can, do what makes you happy, and just move more. Second, track your intake. Zach touched on this, I think, when we were in our Zoom call with our summer shred.
Yeah, so like the point I made was, and this can go either way, but you wouldn't, you know, work out and not track things and expect to make progress. So why would it be any different with your nutrition and vice versa? Mm-hmm. So, and I've been saying this for a while, and I don't know where I heard it. It might've been like an ebook I read or something, but maybe Louis Simmons from like West Side Barbell, but it was, you know, what gets tracked or measured gets improved. Because if you're just guessing what you eat, or you're guessing how much, you know, you're loading onto a bar each week, it's like, you don't know where to go from there, and you can't tell if it was working or not working. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you aren't tracking calories, you don't know if, you know, you need to bring them up, bring them down, do whatever you need to. So it's just hard. I won't even say hard. You don't have to track to lose weight, but tracking certainly leaves very little for doubt, you know,
as for sure.
Not it's working.
Especially for someone like a beginner who has never maybe tracked before. And they
or
have
people like us that have been not tracking for a long time.
Yeah. And they just haven't had that accountability of like, hey, what am I actually eating? Because it's so easy to guess at how much you're eating, but you're actually way overeating. And then they're like, well, I'm eating in a deficit. No, you're not. You're eating like 4 servings of peanut butter versus 1, because it's very easy to go over on that kind of stuff. You are eating just way more food in general than you even think. Those trips to the pantry add up quick. You could easily be putting in over 1,000 calories of just snacks in a day.
Well, and one thing I think people struggle with too from time to time, like in our challenges, is they think that because they're tracking and they have this like predetermined like set amount of calories or macros that they have, that means that they're in a deficit. Like, no, it's awesome that you're tracking and you're like, you know, you have an idea as to what you're eating, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're in a deficit. So like if you do that for like a week or two and you don't lose any body weight or fat, or, you know, you actually gain weight, you quite simply just weren't at a deficit. So like, yeah. don't confuse tracking for being in a deficit. The way tracking is just a way to make sure that, you know, you're consistent with what you're eating, and then you can go down or increase if you lose too much weight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's so many factors. That's like for a whole nother episode if you need more information on, you know, when you would adjust and how you would adjust. But there's so many factors that go into that. So in order to see progress though with your nutrition, you should be tracking, and you don't have to track to see progress, but if you really need to kind of be consistent and be held accountable for what you're eating, it's a good way to make sure what you're eating is not in abundance.
Yeah.
So tracking, making sure that you're actually tracking accurately, and you're not like, you're weighing food out, you're not usually using like measuring cups and stuff, because that even can be inaccurate. Consuming high volume foods is another tip that we have. So if you're trying to cut and your calories are a little bit on the lower side that you're not used to necessarily, including foods like egg whites, eggs, vegetables, potatoes, rice, chicken, shrimp, like any high fruit, like berries. You can eat a ton of berries, a ton of melon, for very little calories. So including foods that are high in volume that will help you feel fuller for longer is truly key to being successful in a calorie deficit. And then also prioritizing protein and your water intake. By prioritizing protein, you will stay satiated and satisfied for much longer than if you were to not eat enough protein. So you really want to aim to be, I always say 0.8 to about 1.1 grams of protein per pound of body weight. And then for water, try to increase your water intake. If you've been, you know, consistently consuming 32 to 48 ounces, maybe you try for a week to go up to 64 to 80 ounces. And then that next week you try 80 to 100 and you just slowly try to increase it. And I promise you that will help a ton with your water, with your digestion, your energy, your hunger, and you'll just feel much better, your recovery. And then last but not least, just to remember that you are in control. We can only do so much as coaches to help you. And same with like Alex. Alex can only do so much to help me be successful, but it's up to me to put in the work and actually execute the plan. So if you're not seeing progress, you can't blame it on the coach or the plan. You have to blame it on you, because either you're not doing something right, you're not working hard enough, you're not tracking accurately, or you're just not being as consistent as you need to be. So enough with the excuses, enough with the complaining. You eventually have to get to a point where you're fed up with your own excuses, like we were. We have been in the same boat, so I don't want to act like we're perfect here and we, you know, we're in the fitness industry and we have this, you know, standard to be fit and active and do everything right. Well, we struggle too, just like you guys. So eventually you have to be tired of your own excuses and tired of hearing yourself constantly complain about, you know, being, you know, overweight, being, you know, lethargic, feeling like crap, not having your clothes fit. And you have to be willing to change. You are in control and only you can do that. So I think that pretty much wraps up the episode. Zach, do you have any other tips for people?
Yeah, so something that I find that helps with my adherence is just like keeping it very simple. Bailey actually used to like mock me and make fun of me when I would want to track because I would eat bro meals and like, but that's just personally what I have found helps me.
I would not mock you. I would just be like, sometimes when I wasn't tracking,
it was
just
what you're doing now. I know. You're eating the bro meals. So like,
it was just because I wanted to make like fun meals that weren't boring. But now that I'm tracking again, I'm like, okay, it's way easier now that we have a baby, especially too.
It's not impossible, but it's very like meticulous, like tracking and weighing stuff. Like if you're
like, if you have to make a big recipe
with like your like meals,
100%.
So like I just find that, one, for myself, and this isn't something you have to do, but if you also struggle with like, you know, hate how hard it can be to like track, like I said, like extravagant meals, mm-hmm. just keep it simple. So like the things that I like thrive on are quite literally like ground beef, lean ground beef, ground bison, chicken breast, rice, potatoes, fruit, veggies.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like it's just
protein shakes.
Yeah. Stuff that's just like very easy to track, stuff that I don't have to, you know, spend 30 minutes trying to come up with the macros on it. Like it's just very easy for me to adhere.
Yeah.
To that.
And I can agree and I can say that I was wrong, but it was because I wasn't tracking. So like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, why can't you eat meals with me? Because I just want to eat the same thing at night. Like I didn't want you to be eating your beef and rice and then have me make like a nice meal.
Yeah.
But now that we have a baby and we're both tracking and time is of the essence, like we just need to save time.
And especially if like you're trying to like cook that stuff in bulk, like it's way easier to like track and weigh out.
That's
like
exactly what I was gonna say is we go to Costco, we get what we need, just the staples. We didn't get any fluff the last time we went. We literally just got the staples and we like bulk cooked bison, steaks, rice, potatoes, and then we pre-cut up veggies like mushrooms, bell peppers, onions, and turkey bacon, and we put them in little baggies and we have them in the fridge so that if we want to make like an egg scramble in the morning, we can toss everything into a pan.
Which if people want to see that, it's on your story.
Yep.
So by the time they see this, though, it'll probably be gone.
It'll be gone, but I'll try to save it or something. Yeah. But yeah, just little packets, pre-measured, pre-weighed out, pre-tracked and everything, so you can just put it in your fitness pal easily. And you literally just throw it in a pan, throw some egg whites or eggs in it, and then bam, you have a scramble. Super easy. And then, like I said, we bulk cook our rice and our potatoes and our protein so that during the week, it's super easy to weigh out, you know, 4, 5, 6 ounces of meat with, you know, 100, 200, 300 grams of a carb, and then add some fresh cut veggies in or a can of freaking green beans. Like it doesn't have to be fresh veggies all the time. You can have canned and frozen stuff. It's great and it's better than nothing. So it's super easy meals, super easy to track, and makes our lives way easier when we have a baby.
Yeah.
Also, our fruits are always cut up, always washed, ready to go, so that if we want to make a fruit bowl or yogurt parfait, they're ready to go and ready to eat. And I find that we waste less when we do this. If we wait to wash our fruit, we end up wasting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty much our conclusive list of tips for helping people trying to, you know, get in a deficit, trying to cut. We try to make it simple. If you have any questions, though, don't be afraid to reach out to us. We're always available to help. Zach's Instagram is Zachary J. Turner. And then mine is obviously Body Fit Balance. We'll put them in the description below for you guys. And I will try to make this into a blog post as well. So if you didn't have time to listen to all this, or you just kind of want it all broken down into a blog post that you can easily refer back to, I will put that in my blog, BaileyMarieTurner.com, and you can check it out there. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will chat with you next time.